So you can take your Bibles today and you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 9. And this is just a Labor Day sharing. And in 1 Corinthians 3, 9 it says, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building." Right? And husbandry means field. So we are laborers together with God. Right? That means that we get to do what we do alongside God. How awesome is that, right? We get to labor and to do the things that we do alongside the creator of the heavens and earth. That's how God designed it. That's how he wanted it, right? So when you think about it, that's the way that God put things together, is so that we would labor together with him, right? He put Adam in the garden to dress it and to keep it, right? To do work. He gave him a job, and man is happiest when he's working alongside God, right? So if we're looking for happiness, one of the things we can do is to work alongside God. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians 2, 13. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you." And that means that it's God who is at work in you. So not only do we get to work together with God, God is at work in us. And he is at work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That means to want to and then to carry it out. He is at work within you to want to do his good will and to carry it out, right? So God is at work in you, right? And we shouldn't push back against that. If God's helping us to do something, if he's giving us wisdom or guidance or instruction, or we get that feeling that, boy, I should do this, then do it. That's God working in you, right? To want and to carry out what he has in store. And it's great that the next verse, which I heard a lot growing up, follows that verse. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, right? The context is that it's God at work in us. So don't argue against it, right? Don't fight against it. That the result, you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, right? And so when you carry this stuff out, it's to that end, that you shine as lights to this world, that you're blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in what? Vain. Right. So it won't be for nothing. The outcome is that we shine as lights to this world, right? We shine as lights to this world. We win others to God. Right? And that work won't be in vain. He's going to bless us for that work, right? We'll see fruit as we do that. Go to Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse 1. So sometimes we might think, I don't know how I'm going to do this, or I don't know what to do. But we can then remember that God promises that he'll work in us, right? We don't have to all the time. We don't have to know all the time, because it's God who works in us. Psalm 127:1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Right? Working alongside God is so much better than doing it without him. Right? That's the message here. Right? We can work really, really hard, but if it's not alongside God, then it's in vain. Right? If we're going to build the house, we build it along with God. If we're going to watch, we watch along with God. Right? It says that it's vain for you to rise up early and to stay up late. You can do that. You can get up really early and start working at the crack of dawn and work until, you know, after the sun goes down. But if it's not alongside God, then you're going to eat the bread of sorrows, right? That's in contrast to toiling away, right? Working alongside God is restful. It's easy, right? But eating the bread of sorrows is just toiling away just to get enough food to eat, right? That's like working a 14-hour day just to be able to put food on the table, right? But if you work alongside God, He'll take care of it, right? You don't have to go that crazy. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 4. And that's in all areas of our life, whatever we're doing. Whether it's our job, whether it's giving and serving in the body, if we work alongside God, it's just easy. You know, sometimes we can look at stuff and think, wow, that's going to be a lot of work, right? Well, it can be, but if you work alongside God, it'll be easy. Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of another. Right? So it's important for us to remember that we are all individuals in the body of Christ. Right? We are all individuals. We all, you know, nobody else is Elizabeth. Nobody else is Chris. Nobody else is Rube, right? They're all individuals in the body of Christ. We're all sons and daughters of God. That's something we have in common. But we're all individuals in the body of Christ, right? We all have a purpose, something to accomplish. And we're going to see that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. The body's not just Rube. It's not just Elizabeth. It's many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the foot's like, well, I can't pick anything up, and I can't high five, I'm not part of the body. No. It's just, it has a different function, right? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Right? The eye says, I can't hear music. I'm not part of the body. The ear gets to hear everything. Right? Well, yeah, the eye gets to see. The foot gets to walk. Right? We all have a purpose. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has what? Pleased Him. Pleased Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. As it pleased God, right? The members, who you are in the body, that pleases God. Think about that. Who you are in the body makes God happy, right? You might not be the seeing, but what you do well is please God. Whatever that might be, it pleases God. We all have a purpose in the body. We all have a function. We all have something we're good at, and we have something to offer. And it's important that we exercise that, because that pleases God. That's what makes Him happy, right? I am not a musician. I can pick up a guitar and strum it here, and it won't please anyone. It won't. And I can sit here and act like, well, I want to be the guy who gets to play the guitar and everybody is happy about it. But that's not my purpose, right? That's not what I have to offer the body. That's not what I'm good at. And so if I continue to pursue blessing you all with my guitar playing, it won't amount to anything, right? So the things that I am good at are the things I need to pursue after, right? That's the stuff that I have to offer. And it's God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure, right? The thing that blesses God about you is the thing that you should be working toward and carrying out. Makes sense. Go to chapter 15, verse 58. If we all played the guitar really well, and no one taught the word well, or no one made good food, or no one knew how to fix anything around here, that wouldn't work out too well, right? We all have areas that we can bless the body with and bless people with, right? That's our purposes. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of who? The Lord. The work of the Lord is what he called you to do, right? Your purpose, what pleases him. That's what God is encouraging us to do, that we should be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in that work, right? Don't let somebody talk you out of it. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, right? Whatever your place is, abound in it. Whatever it is, abound in it, right? Be unmovable in that. Put it into practice. It's not in vain. Go to Galatians 6. Galatians 6, 9. So God encourages us to continue in that work. He's called us to do something awesome in this body. In Galatians 6, 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Right? If we faint not. So, this verse really boils down to don't give up. Don't give up. Right? Keep at it. Keep working at what you're good at. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, when the time comes, it'll pay off. Right? It'll pay off. Don't give up or grow weary in your effort. And we're going to close in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Right? So as long as we continue to work at what God has called us to do, he's at work in us to willing to do his good pleasure, and we don't give up, it won't be in vain. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto who? Men." Right, because it's God who is at work in you. So whatever it is that we're doing, we should do it heartily unto God. We should do our job as hard as we can for God, not for our employer. We should do our schoolwork as best as we can, not for our teacher, but for God. We should do our chores around the house best that we can, not for mom and dad, but for God, right? It's everything that we do it heartily unto God. Whatever your place is, whatever your purpose is, don't give up. And don't do it for others hoping that they'll applaud you, okay? Because most of the time they won't. And that's just the way it works. But you do it heartily unto God, and he'll bless you abundantly for it. And you'll be happier for it.